back to the Starting Lineup podcast. I am Shep Jones, back in the captain's seat after being on a DL with illness. I still have a little bit of it, so I apologize in advance for my voice.
You can't be back yet if you're on the DL, because at the minimum it would be 7 days if you're on the concussion DL, but you don't look that dazed and confused right now, so I'm assuming you're on the 10-day DL.
We don't have to do MLB DL stuff. across from the table, as you've heard, is Mitch George. So we're going to get rocking and rolling. We're doing some Major League Baseball, some NFL Week 3, and a little bit of NBA talk, in particular with Adam Silver, that the NBA is really taking charge of social media.
Yeah, so than other leagues.
More so than other professional sports leagues. But we'll hit at that at the end of the show.
Okay.
So the Boston Red Sox, the Cleveland Indians, and the Houston Astros have all locked in playoff spots.
Yep.
The Astros and the Indians clinching their division. Boston is on the cusp of clinching the AL East. And the Yankees have extended their games above the Twins by 7. And the Angels and the Texas Rangers are getting ever so closer to the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, but it was really nice because the Twins obviously got smoked by the Yankees, but the Angels didn't do any better. Because they're playing the Indians right now. I think mm-hmm. they're at least 2 games deep. Maybe they finish up that series.
They have one more game against Cleveland today.
And they've lost the first two. Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. No, they beat them. Wait, hold on. No, I'm sorry.
To me, it says losing streak 3.
So they lost the last two.
They're about to get swept, I think.
That game is happening right now, actually.
Is it?
Yep. But, yeah, no, that's good for the Twins. And it's better for the Twins. Japers, I'm off today. That after this series with the Cleveland Indians, the Angels go and on the road to face the Houston Astros. While the Twins, I believe they go to Detroit to play the Tigers, but another next series against the Tigers, which they had a toilet bowl series with the White Sox and they split. So prospects are good.
I wouldn't be worried so much about the Angels. I would actually be worried about the Rangers. The Rangers have won 3 in a row. They beat Seattle yesterday and they play Seattle tonight. And it's a 10-10 start here Central Time. Their magic number is 9. That's feasible being 2.5 back of the Twins. The Twins, the Angels, and the Rangers, and the Royals in the last 10 are all 4-6, mm-hmm. with the addition of the Tampa Bay Rays. But I think Tampa Bay is pretty much out of it.
But the Rangers are streaking, so they're on a positive note.
Right, right.
So we'll see how that shakes out. I mean, the Twins haven't gotten swept too often this year, so we can't expect that to be the constant. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It's got to be worrisome seeing the Rangers on the tail like that. I mean, the Royals are even 3.5 games back, but it's going to be tough for them. But that's obviously not elimination yet.
Right.
What are we at? Are we about 10 games left in the year?
I believe it's 9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Because the Angels' magic number is 11. 10.
It's either 10 or 11.
Angels' magic number is 10. So I'm assuming it's 10 or 11, not 9. Now, there's an important series happening in the National League this week, leading into the beginning of the weekend, and that's the Cubs at Milwaukee. Is this a bigger series for the Cubs being a game up on Milwaukee in the Central, or Milwaukee being a game back of the Rockies and a game back of the Cubs for wild card and National League Central?
I think it's way more important for Milwaukee to sneak into that second wild card spot and kick the Rockies out of there so that the playoffs aren't dominated by NL West teams this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Milwaukee doesn't care about that. They're just trying to get themselves into the playoffs. But I think this is a lot bigger for Milwaukee in that sense, just because they've missed the playoffs. They haven't been there in a while. Mm-hmm. And they have a really good building core unit, so it's impressive that they're even going to be in contention this year, because I don't think anyone saw this. I think they saw St. Louis and Pittsburgh being better than Milwaukee probably mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But the emergence of the young studs, and Keon Broxton, and then the re-emergence of Eric Thames have sparked Milwaukee. So I personally think that the pitching staff in Milwaukee has improved a lot, and then but this series will be a lot bigger for Milwaukee than it will be for the Cubs.
See, I have to take the opposite side of that, because not only are the Cubs at risk of this series of losing the National League Central, but they're also at risk if, say, they get swept, they're not even in wild card contention. They've dropped all the way out of the race.
Right.
So they have to at least take the series and win two out of three.
Yeah, I mean, they're still, Milwaukee's still 3.5 games back of the division lead. So they still have, the Cubs have breathing room, so even if they split, or if Milwaukee takes the series 2-3, they're still going to be a game and a half above Milwaukee for that wild card spot. But if Milwaukee takes 2-3, then they have the potential to leapfrog the Rockies into that spot. So that's why I think it's more important, just for the shakeup of the standings more so in the wild card.
Right. And over the last couple of days, the Cubs just had a interleague matchup with the Rays down in Tampa. John Lester does not look great.
I heard that they were thinking about moving him out to the bullpen if they do make the playoffs.
Okay, so you take John Lester out. Then you have Jose Quintana, which hasn't been great since he's come over to the White Sox. Jake Arrieta, who was making his first start in 2 weeks.
From a hamstring sprain.
Yep. Kyle Hendricks, who's had a pretty solid year. John Lackey, not so great. So you take John Lester out. Who do you replace? A struggling John Lester. Are you willing to put Mike Montgomery there in the starting role?
Depends on Lester. I mean, you're replacing lefty with lefty, so in that sense it's...
But I'd rather move John Lackey into the bullpen.
That's true.
Because John Lester in the postseason...
He's had a lot more experience than Montgomery has.
Right. And in my opinion, a better pitcher in the postseason than John Lackey is.
Right.
And if you need to move Mike Montgomery up and to take a start in the postseason, I'd rather it be for John Lackey than for John Lester.
Makes sense.
But he came out and said that he feels fine and he's not physically drained or anything. He's just losing.
He's having a rough patch.
Yeah, he's losing a bit of his command. I want to see what Jake Arrieta does tonight against the Brewers. He's going up against Zach Davies, who.
Really good season.
It has had a really good season. He has a upper 3 ERA against the Cubs all year long, which that's not bad.
Holding
that offense to 4 or less runs every time you've started against them.
Sure.
I'll give that credit where he's actually had a pretty good year overall.
And he's going to get close to the 200 inning mark. He won't pass it, but that's still impressive that he's going to get close. He's at 180 right now, Zach Davies is. So we'll say he gets at least 6 innings tonight probably. So that puts him at 186, and say he makes one more start at the end of the year. So he'll be above 190 innings pitched on the year, and that'll be really impressive for that kind of guy that kind of jumped onto the radar that we didn't even know about beginning this year for the most part.
So. Right, and as you were saying, the Brewers have kind of surprised everyone for the most part, because it was supposed to be the Cardinals and then the Pirates and the Brewers and the Reds. The Reds are just being the Reds.
The Reds are the Reds, just hogging Joey Votto for no reason.
Right, and then having solid games out of Scooter Jeanette with 4 home runs earlier in the season, then really hasn't done much.
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, actually, I like Suarez. He's a pretty good young shortstop.
He is.
Did you see the Andralton Simmons play from 2 days ago?
Dude's a freak.
He sucks at hitting, but God, he's a defensive whiz.
I'm gonna look up his WAR quick, just solely for his defense, because he's well below average hitter.
Right.
Obviously, but let's see, player value, batting, his WAR. It says 6.7.
Really? For batting? What's his average?
That must take into account defense, because, fielding runs above replacement is what we are looking for, but we all know he's a good hitter. Sorry, a good fielder, not so much a good hitter, but I mean, if you look at his batting stats, I mean, he's batting .280 this year, which that's respectable. I mean, in the past he's been down in the mid 200s, but and hitting with a toothpick as far as power goes. He's got 14 bombs this year, but in the past 3 years, he's had 15 total home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too impressive, but he's doubled his last 3 years just this year, and he's also hit 36 doubles, which is impressive.
And there's this, Baseball Reference, they have the leaderboards, awards, and honors. Defensive war from 2013 on. He had a 5.4 defensive war, which was first in the NL. He had a 3.9 in 2014, which was first. 2015, 3.3 first. 2017, AL, 3.8 first.
So what's more impressive, that or the fact that all of last season he only struck out 38 times?
That's it?
38 times. He struck out 64 times this year, which is still good. You just want to stay under 100, and that's mm-hmm. well above 100. But 38 times last year in 483 plate appearances.
Dang.
So, like, that's a healthy amount of plate appearances, too.
And I want to try and find his defensive runs saved. This year, defensive runs saved is 29 defensive runs saved. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that. That's... If you're getting anywhere close to 20 as an infielder, you're making some pretty slick plays out at short.
Sure. I don't know if you saw this, but Major League Baseball, more particularly StatCast, came out with a new metric for StatCast recently. Did you hear about that? It's called outs above average. So how many outs above your average replacement level fielder did that player make? And I'll let you guess who the number one ranking fielder is.
Total?
Out of everybody.
Out of every position.
Out of everybody. He's pretty much widely regarded as your gold glove winner in the American League. Center fielder.
Trout.
No.
Really?
Byron Buxton.
Oh.
The fastest man alive.
He's
guess how many
wheels.
Outs above the average fielder he's recorded. You're probably going to overshoot this, actually.
I'll go like 5.5.
24.
What?
He's recorded 24 more outs in the field than the average center fielder would have made.
That tells me one of two things. Either teams are hitting to just straight dead center against the Twins, or other teams are not hitting dead center.
Or the fact that he's just a fast dude.
Did
you see that he hit an inside the park home run and rounded the bases in 13.85 seconds?
He broke his previous record.
They timed us in middle school getting to second base, and my time to get to second base was 16 seconds.
Yeah, that seems about right for myself as well.
So he rounded all of them in 13.85. That's
he would have beaten
amazing.
You to third by the time you made it to second.
He would have laughed me.
Yeah, he probably would have laughed you.
It's incredible.
Go ahead.
It looks like, the more that I look at this, the outs above average metric looks like it's just taking into account outfielders.
Okay. So not any infielders.
Sure.
Now, there's one thing that I do want to kind of talk about.
Sure.
Is the bidding war that's going to happen this offseason.
Okay.
With Ohtani coming out from Japan.
Yes, Shohei Ohtani.
That is going to be really expensive.
You might need to rephrase that, though, because with the new, there are new rules with the CBA where it's going to make it more reasonable, so the larger market teams aren't going to be able to spend so much out of their pocket as opposed to the lower level market teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the exact number is. $10 million sticks out in my head for some reason. Maybe that's $10 million a year or something. I'll have to read up on a little bit more. But it sounds like that there are going to be about maybe 20 teams or something that will post the same amount of money. So the maximum amount of money.
I think every team will post.
For Shohei Ohtani. So a multitude of teams are going to post the maximum, and then there's a variety of factors that's going to go into his decision. I don't know if I was talking with you about this, but some say he's going to want to go join Yu Darvish, wherever Yu Darvish is at.
Mm-hmm.
Some say he wants to go to a larger market team, so that's where that could overlap, and he could go to the Dodgers. or maybe he'd want to go to Boston or New York or one of the more stereotypical baseball cities. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see where he wants to go. But maybe he wants to live in a bigger city, or maybe he'll pick his climate, or maybe he wants to go to win a championship right away. We'll see where his interests line up. But that'll be, I think that'll be interesting, figuring out how he stacks up, considering that financially every team is on the same playing field, no mm-hmm. pun intended.
Right. Well, MLB 2 hours ago posted this by Phil Rogers, who's a great columnist for Major League Baseball. 10 perfect fit teams for Ohtani. What would number one be?
I'll have to say the Dodgers.
Nope.
Rangers.
Nope. Dodgers are on this list. Rangers are on this list.
What league?
National.
The Nationals?
Nope.
Tell me.
It would be the Cubs.
The Cubs?
Because Arrieta and Lackey are both potentially on their way out. Lackey probably more so than Arrieta. They're going to pull out all the stops to get this kid. Two, big market team. You hadn't said their name yet. It's not the Dodgers or the Rangers.
In the National League?
Nope, AL.
The Yankees.
Yes. Three would be the Rangers. Four would be an AL West team.
An AL West team, I'm going to say the Angels.
Nope.
Astros.
Nope.
Mariners.
Yes.
The Oakland Athletics.
Five was Dodgers. Six is an NL West team, not the Dodgers. This would be a surprise.
Probably San Francisco.
Nope.
The Padres.
Yes. It says here that no team has done more work to put in position for Ohtani than San Diego, which has a Japanese flavor throughout its organization. And then it follows with Red Sox, Giants, Astros, and Blue Jays. Now, if you're a manager for a baseball club and you acquire the rights to Ohtani.
I just found the rules to that, by the way.
Is he a pitcher or is he a batter? Does he play an outfield spot? If you're an AL team, is he your DH? If you're an NL team, does he pick up an outfield spot or do you pitch him every fifth day?
So what I would be more inclined to see is Ohtani going to an American League team. So let's say he goes to the Yankees because Brett Gardner is getting kind of old. Mm-hmm. So we'll say they stick him in left field because I'm pretty sure that's where Brett Gardner has been playing recently. So they stick him in left field, and he's also a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. So let's say day one, he starts on the mound. He obviously wouldn't have any at-bats that day because he's in the American League. And so right. He'll have a DH form just so he can focus on pitching that day. Mm-hmm. Not in the lineup the next day. Then he's going to go 2 days as the DH. Mm-hmm. And then the last day, he won't be in the lineup. And then the fifth day, he'll be back on the sixth day, he'll be back in his starting rotation. So kind of pitch, off day, hit, off day, pitch. And then repeat it all over again. That's what I would be inclined to see. I think that'd be really interesting.
I think National League teams would do the same thing. You give him a day off before he pitches. If it's Joe Madden's going to give him a day off. He'll pitch, day off, hit. Because Joe Madden's just...
So he's got to stick him in the outfield then.
Right. Which, you put him in left field, that's not terrible.
Go catch a ball.
Right. Left field at Wrigley is not that bad. Mm-hmm. Same. Well, right field's a little different because you kind of have that alcove in the corner. Left field, it's not a big issue in my mind. I mean, Kyle Schwarber's out there. He's not great.
Yeah. He's got to be better than Kyle Schwarber.
He's making it work.
All right. So you can finish your thought, and I'll go through these rules here for signing Ohtani.
Do the rules. I want to hear
okay.
these.
So under the new collective bargaining agreement, international players under the age of 25 are subject to the bonus pool system, which means that Ohtani will be allowed to sign a minor league contract only with a maximum signing bonus of $10 million. Okay. So, and I think the minor league max, it's not that much at all. So he wouldn't be making more than like $500,000 a year at first. So mm-hmm. every single MLB team will offer him that. Plus that.
Right.
And then the $10 million signing bonus, I think, every team won't hesitate to do that. So he may have a good 30 offers to pick from, 32 offers.
I think he'll
from.
Have every offer to choose from.
It's going to be crazy if he just chooses some very random team to go to. Say he goes to the Athletics, like I said, or if he goes to the Tampa Bay Rays or the Phillies or some just very low-level team that has kind of been struggling recently. So we'll see what kind of perspective he has when he comes over. But it's going to be really cool. It'll be really telling as far as what the international perception of various ball clubs is.
One last little Major League Baseball thing here, and then we'll switch over to football, and then I'll do my NBA thing. Former Major League Baseball player and Dominican Republican mayor.
And father to and current.
Father to current royal player. Yep. Raul Mondesi, sentenced to 8 years in prison on corruption charges.
He's corrupt.
Let's see here. Mondesi was convicted of corruption charges and forced to pay a fine of 60 million pesos.
60?
60. An audit of city council finances discovered an irregularity of more than 70 million pesos. So he was just pulling money out.
Holy cow. So
I understand it's the Dominican Republic, but they need the money. They get hit with hurricanes
So you said 60 million pesos?
60 million pesos.
That is...
What's the exchange rate on that?
$3,352,000.
Oh, that's chump change for him.
Yeah, well.
But now he also has to spend 8 years in prison.
Well.
Donate your own money there, dude. Anyway.
That's insane.
That is pretty bad.
I wonder how much of Raul Mondesi's contract will go to helping bail out his dad, if they even have bailouts wherever he got arrested.
If I'm Mondesi, I'm hands off, man. I'm not touching it.
I'm not related to this guy.
All right.
So he's making $537,000 this year. So he'll be able to put one sixth of his dad's bail or one sixth of his dad's fine if he donates every single cent to that cause.
Yeah. So NFL, we've got about 8 minutes here before we wrap up the show.
Holy cow, we're going quick.
I know. Thursday night football tonight is a battle for California. The Los Angeles Rams visit the poor San Francisco 49ers.
Toilet bowl
game. Who you taking?
I got the Rams in a blowout.
I am also taking the Rams in a blowout.
I think they'll put up 30.
You
can't really call it a blowout if they don't go over 30. 28-0 is a blowout, but you can't assume that the Niners aren't going to score anything.
Well, it is the Niners.
It's the Niners.
Sunday, early Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. We have our.
I'm not waking up for that.
I am not waking up for.
I have to wake up for Kansas football, and that game starts at 11, and that's hardly even easy enough to do.
Oh, I have to be there at 7:45, so I don't want to hear it.
Have fun.
The first London game of the year: Baltimore Ravens at Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens on that one, too. I mean, I will own up to it. Last week I said that the Browns are going to upset the Ravens. That didn't happen. It was kind of close, but it didn't happen, unfortunately.
Right.
We have a real toilet bowl game this week, though. We have the Colts and the Browns. That's the real toilet bowl, and you even got one of the colors to match.
I'm taking the Browns. I'm doing it. I'm pulling for Cleveland.
I don't know. Do we have Andrew Luck back? Is he?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Is that Scott Tolzien, then?
Yep. Wonderful. No, it's Jacoby Brissett.
That's right.
He didn't look that bad.
Give me Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think we'll go with Cleveland. I believe this is a divisional matchup, the Dolphins and the Jets.
His divisional matchup.
That's a good one.
Dolphins.
Yeah, I'll probably take the Dolphins, too. We have a shootout that's going to happen here, too. We have the Lions and the Falcons. That'll be a 30-30 game.
Falcons.
The Falcons will win, but the Lions are still going to put up 30, I think.
Another divisional matchup, Saints at Panthers.
That's intriguing.
Do the Panthers finally get the ball rolling to the point where we know that offense can produce?
I don't think so.
I'm going to take the Panthers, but it's going to be close.
I think I'm going to take the Saints in that game.
Okay. Oh, here's one. And I'm looking at Chris Sims' stuff. Tampa Bay Bucks at Vikings.
Yep.
Who wins without Bradford? Without slinging Sammy Ocho.
Slinging Sammy Ocho.
Rolling that offense.
That's going to be tough because I'm a Vikings fan.
Right.
But I also like Jameis Winston and what he can do. I mean, he barely got over 200 yards last week.
Mm-hmm.
But
against the Bears of all teams.
Right. So that was a really good prospect. But, I mean, he still has Mike Evans. And I'm still waiting for the week where O.J. Howard's going to break out, too.
Yeah.
Because I think he'll go for 100 sometime this season. I just don't know when it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be against the Vikings. But, I mean, the fan inside of me wants to take the Vikings, but with how poor the quarterback play was last week, I was disappointed by the sloppy quarterback play.
You're taking the Bucs without Bradford.
Right. I don't think Bradford's going to be back. But
if Bradford were to play, would that switch?
He's going to tear him apart.
Okay. Because that's exactly what Chris Sims has. Without Bradford, Bucs 24-20.
If you look at Sam Bradford's game averages this season, they are off the charts.
Right.
He's the best quarterback in the league if you look at his game averages this year.
Let's see what else we got here.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Divisional matchup, Giants at Eagles. Taking the Eagles.
Giants are terrible.
Yep. And then what's our Monday night game here?
Monday night is Cowboys and Cardinals. I want the Cardinals to upset them, but I don't know if they will.
I don't think they can without having David Johnson there.
Yeah, I agree, but then again, Zeke looked terrible.
Against Denver, though. That's a Denver.
8 yards?
That's a Denver defense that's really great at shutting down rush yards.
I don't care, though, because Zeke, he was so good last year, and he got held to 8 yards in a game.
All right, hey, he didn't have to play Denver.
It's true.
So.
It's true. But then the other primetime game that we have this week is a coast-to-coast matchup with the Raiders and the Redskins.
Taking the Raiders.
I think so, too.
Raiders are my Super Bowl pick, actually.
I have them, too. I like them.
So one little NBA tidbit here. I have to give utmost respect to Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, because he's put in place this new way of getting NBA highlights out on social media, whether it being Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, out so fast, where like a dunk happens and it's on social media 2 minutes later. Right. Whereas if NFL, NHL, MLS, MLB all give it like 3, 4, 5 hours before they put it out.
Yeah, usually it's after the game's even over.
Right. And if a pick six happens in an NFL game, you're going to want to see that right away on social media, but it still sits there and waits. Like, the first people to usually put things up like that, not affiliated with any league, would be Bleacher Report. I get notifications about every half hour of some sort of play happening, whether it be for MLB, NBA, NHL, doesn't matter, any of the major sports, and it's out there. But it's nothing from
the
MLB Twitter account, the NFL Twitter account, teams' Twitter accounts. NBA and the NBA teams' Twitter accounts have been so fast over the last year, it's making these other leagues just look poor in their social media presence, in a way. Like, MLB kind of gets creative, and their teams get creative when, you know, their teams start tweeting back and forth at each other.
That's always fun.
Poke fun. That's great and all. But when it comes to what fans really want, which is highlights, because maybe I'm a fan of the Phoenix Suns and I'm living here, I can't watch all the Phoenix Suns games, and I'm not going to want to pay for NBA ticket or whatever it's called. I don't know. If Eric Bledsoe,
League Pass.
If Eric Bledsoe dunks over someone, I'm going to want to see that.
Sure.
And I want to have to wait 3 hours to see it. That's
makes sense.
I NBA has it right, and I think other major professional leagues need to start looking at how the NBA does it.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question. You have to answer with one word. Who wins AL Cy Young race, Kluber or Sale? Tick-tock, tick-tock,
Kluber.
Kluber? Okay, we have it. You heard it here. Corey Kluber is going to be your AL Cy Young winner.
That will do it for the show today. We will be back Monday with the MLB season coming to a close very quickly. Recapping NFL for week 3 with the exception of the Monday night game, which then we will talk about on the following Thursday. We will be back on Monday.